Smith Show. Check out the website, ricksmithshow.com. Jason sent me an email during the break, said, Rick, you're absolutely right. Trump is quietly undoing everything Obama did to help working people. Why is it that our media is not focusing on that? He points to, as I said, the overtime rule that, you know, just seemed very common sense based. He points to the OSHA being told, you know, no more worried about that silicon dust, no more worried about silica or beryllium, none of that. Let's make lung cancer great again. And right on down the line, the Department of Labor will now be used against labor. Sad, sad stuff. Anyway, let's find out what's going on around the world as we talk about labor issues. I've got Frank Emspecht. He's a managing editor and executive producer for Workers Independent News. Frank, thanks for taking time for us.
Hi, how are you? It's a great morning, huh?
Well, you know, after a weekend of Twitter tantrums and all of that, it's an interesting day.
Well, it's Monday, and according to the news, although it's not very clear what the news is in some ways, I wanted to talk about the healthcare business and where we're at in this country and what we really need to focus on and mobilize about, at least in my opinion. And maybe we could do that for a couple of minutes and then sort of assess whether the Democrats, in fact, have done so with their new proposals this morning.
Well, I mean, you look at the reality. The healthcare, situation is the Republicans ran on repeal and replace because they did a successful job of convincing people that the black guy in the White House was their enemy and that the government was going to take over their healthcare and it was going to be horrible. And what's actually happening is people are waking up, I think, and I'm hoping, to the reality is that, you know, that was a step forward, not a huge one, but at least a step forward in my view.
Well, I think it was, but I think. What I've been saying is this, and I think this is important for people to make this distinction, because when people do make the distinction, they are in favor of something else. First of all, this was the Affordable Insurance Act, not the Affordable Health Care Act, even though it's called the Affordable Health Care Bill, you know, the Obamacare. And the reason I say that is that what you have here is federal subsidies for the major insurance companies, among others, to provide health care. Now, that's good, because otherwise people wouldn't be able to get insurance.
Right.
And 22 million more people have been able to get insurance to cover health care.
Right.
But the system is an insurance system and not a health care system.
Correct.
And when people are asked, and there's a big difference, right? The reason other countries can do it cheaper is because they're not supporting the insurance companies. They're supporting the health care delivery directly. And that's what people have said they want. Now, why are more people concerned now than they were 6 months ago? And I think this is really to your point. People have been hearing what's happening and beginning to listen and say, oh, wait a minute, what I've got is going to be taken away. That's terrible. And you have thousands of people who have come, been mobilized and say, wait a second, I didn't like this in the first place. You know, I didn't think it was so hot. But let me say, if I didn't have this ability to get insurance, I'd be out. If I had a pre-existing condition, I'd be finished if I do this or I do that. That's one whole group of people. The second whole group of people are medical providers who have said, wait a minute, and the AMA of all people has come out strongly in favor of doing something to maintain and expand government support here. Because what we're talking about is, if we talk about expansion, we're talking about Medicaid dollars going into the healthcare system. It isn't just for poor people. 50% of all births in the state of Wisconsin are paid for with some portion of Medicaid dollars.
Yep, and that holds about so nationally as well.
What?
And that holds nationally as well. That number is pretty close to nationally as well. About
That's
half
right.
of
that
all births
That means it isn't just poor people, which everybody knows who they are, right? It's everybody. And as everybody... As in the paper this weekend, there was some guy, several people actually interviewed in Pennsylvania. Well, I oppose this and I voted for Trump, but wait a minute. I just realized that if this stuff goes through, I'm going to get it in the neck. I wonder why I was opposed to it in the first place.
Yeah, I love that. The pretzel guy going, I don't really know why I was against it. I was just against it.
Well, you see, I think something else has to happen. And I said that on the radio. I sent that to many, many people. I think this is the time for the Democrats to take leadership. And I read their proposals to the extent that they're public right now. It's 10:30 in the morning. I just got a press release maybe 5 minutes ago. I haven't been able to really digest it completely. But obviously the Democrats have said in their new policy proceedings today that they need to expand Medicare and protect Social Security. I think if I was running the show here, that I would go for something that you want, not some compromise. It's very, very hard to motivate people about a compromise when what they really want is an effective medical delivery system, not an effective insurance system. And I believe that when you talk about single-payer delivery of medical care, people understand it, it's simple, it's clear, and there are massive organizations in this country that are developing and have delivered medical care.
Right. So let me ask you this, Frank, because you know I don't want people to be confused by what you're saying, and I don't want to be confused because I'm a single payer guy. I want the government to pay the bill. I'm not so thrilled with the idea of having a universal system to where the government actually controls the doctors and the hospitals. I don't know that I'm thrilled there. Which are you going for?
I'm saying that single payer, without the intervention of the insurance companies deciding medical issues, is the best way to go.
I agree.
That strengthens and potentially strengthens the independent physician. If, of course, the physicians and the medical care people say what the deal is that we are going to operate with the best medical information, you can write that into the standards of payment. You can say that government subsidies will be based on the provision for the best standard of care, not the best profitability.
Right.
So right now what you've got is that the insurance companies really decide what happens. Now, I'll give you an example, because I just went through this personally myself over the last couple of months. I'm sitting there with my surgeon, and he says, well, you know, my medical advice is for you to stay in the hospital two nights. And I said, gee, I don't know. You know, I stayed the first night in the walleye. The fish was pretty good, but, you know, breakfast was pretty bad. And he said, that's not the point. He said, the point is that it's better for you to stay here two nights. And I said, okay, I guess I'll do it. He said, well, no, you won't. I said, why won't I, now that you've convinced me to do it? He said, because the eighth floor, meaning the administration, the people paying the bills here from our insurance and Medicaid, won't permit it. They want you to go home so they don't have to pay the hospital fee and come back tomorrow, even though that's not the best medical advice. And I said, well, why don't you stand up to it? He said, all of the physicians would have to do that, and we can't do it. We're just powerless in this equation.
Wow.
And I said,
not surprising.
Really? And then I asked other people, providers all over the place, and this is, in fact, the answer. The fact of the matter is the standard of care, whatever it is not the standard by which currently people are reimbursed. And I think what you have to do if you talk about single payer is to say that payment will be under certain rules. And the rule is that the medical decision is primary.
Well, I mean, to use a Republican talking point, get government out between you and your doctor.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, what you have is an unanswerable group between us and our doctor, which is the insurance company.
Right.
The point about having the government there is that theoretically and in reality, okay, you can actually influence the government, but you can write a law that says the basis for payment will be the best medical advice.
Right.
And other countries have figured this out.
Right.
The reason that it cost my wife $15 to go have a complete eye exam when she had an eye infection. We were abroad in Paris, actually, last year, $15, was because the French system pays the doctor for that. That's it. Okay? He doesn't have a fancy waiting room. He doesn't have anything like that. He doesn't have one staff member devoted to figuring out the insurance and another devoted to sending out the bills. It's not his problem. The result is that the cost is one-third, as she pointed out. Her total cost for care was less than the copay for most of the patients that see her. She's the physician, okay?
Right.
And the same was true when she had to get antibiotic for the eye infection she had. they were apologizing to her that she had to pay something because we're foreigners in France, right? The something, again, was some like $5, right? And they said, can't you charge your insurance company? She said, don't worry about it. It'll cost us more in stamps to get in touch with the insurance company. The fact of the matter is that when you interpose between the doctor and the patient, your insurance company, the interests of the company are to make money, not to provide care. And we have to say we're fighting for a medical care system across the board, whether it is nursing home care or opioid care or regular checkups or anything. You can't have a system. And incidentally, just so you know, and people will probably think this is totally insane, a friend of ours who are very sad has a very serious cancer problem. She lives abroad also. So we're talking to her and trying to offer support, and she says, oh, the cab's coming. Cab's coming. Well, so what? Well, she has to go to her appointment for chemotherapy. How does she go? She goes by cab. Who pays? The state pays for this because, the patient has to be able to get to the doctor and can't drive because of her cancer, because of the seriousness of the disease, all right? They also help pay for the nursing care to make sure when she goes home the drug's going to be administered and the care to help clean up the apartment and stuff like that. In other words, it's a unitary system designed to deliver care to the patient. And it is approximately one-sixth of the cost for equivalent care in the United States. Now, you got a system now where other countries are offering better care at lower cost with better outcomes than what we've got here.
Right.
In other words, people don't die as often someplace else.
Yeah, but they don't have profit. We need profit,
yeah.
Frank.
Yeah. So I think we have to focus on that. And I believe, and I could be wrong, but, I'm sitting there in the hospital for a couple of days, had a chance to talk to all kinds of medical staff at 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever, like everybody else, under these circumstances. And the whole group, the state just succeeded in destroying the union here at UW Hospital. But nonetheless, the nurses, the medical assistants, the nursing assistants, everybody was clear there that the issue of staffing and scheduling cannot be resolved in the current system, cannot be done. You just had a strike out in Boston at Tufts,
yeah.
A famous medical center. What was the issue? Staffing. What's the obstacle? The insurance companies, And so they are a barrier between us, the patient, and care. And I think, again, if we talk about political leadership here, what we need, I believe, is for the Democratic Party or somebody, because if they don't do it, somebody else might, is to say, we want medical care for people.
Yeah.
We want the best possible medical care. If the insurance companies want to help us administer this, fine. And we're not going to lay off all the people who are presently dealing with bills. Somebody has to deal with it. But profit isn't the issue. This is a fundamental moral issue as far as I'm concerned. A moral issue. Nobody in a country like this should be deprived of Medicare, because they don't have the cash. Nor should it be made so difficult to get it. You can't tell somebody in northern Wisconsin or northern rural any place in this country where more than half the counties in this state, and this is true throughout the United States, do not have an obstetrician gynecologist in the county.
Yep. No, I mean, there are counties in this state.
They go travel 100 miles to be able to get taken care of on their own steam in some jalopy in the middle of the winter. It is just inhuman, and I think people have finally come to the conclusion if somebody would provide the leadership that it's time for that kind of thing to disappear.
So last question I've got for you, then. The Schumer and the better deal, is this part of it, do you see?
Well, we'll see, but I don't think incrementalism will do it. I think you really got to say what we're fighting for. And we take a look at the successful social movements in the United States in the 20th century. When the women were fighting for the right to vote, they didn't say some women over the next 20 years. They said, right to vote now. When the civil rights movement began to mobilize in 1956, in the face of McCarthyism, you know, this anti-red scandal business. They said, yeah, we want the end of segregation today, not in 25 years, not sometime in the next century, but today. That was their demand, and they mobilized millions of people and all kinds of other people, white people, other blacks, political leadership said, yep, I guess we're going to have to do it, you know? And they didn't say, they didn't start by negotiating against themselves. Union people who are listening to this show know that it's all over when the first thing you start with is a compromise against your interests. You're finished. You cannot mobilize. It will not work. And I think we need to go back to our roots, say what we need, and go fight for it. And that's likely to happen. It's never going to happen if we start off with a compromise that says, well, you know, maybe incrementally over the next few years we can do something, and never, never take on the key issue, which is the primacy of the insurance companies. They've got to go here.
I'm right there with you, Frank. I appreciate the time. Look forward to talking to you again.
Good. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You as well. Our good friend Frank M. Speck, Workers Independent News. You want to check out their website? We've got a link at thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around.
Now who'd have thought that after all, something as simple as rock and roll would save us all? Now who'd have thought that after all, it was rock and roll?
Not right wing, just right. The Rick Smith Show.